May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So recently, I've mentioned to many people that I feel we're about to hit a turning point in the pandemic. The vaccine is being distributed, and we have heard that R is finally beginning to fall, but people are still getting ill and dying. There does seem to be light at the end of the tunnel, but there are days when the tunnel itself seems to be getting longer and longer. Our two readings this morning are coincidentally also concerned with turning points, with change coming, but not quite here yet. Change that is, of course, never easy and often requires sacrifice. Yesterday and on Sunday, the church celebrated Candlemas, or the presentation of Christ in the temple. It is here that the light of the world is first recognised by two humble yet devoted believers who have waited for news of great change and joy for many years. And the prophet Malachi, that Hilary just read to us, also brings news of great change too. Malachi proclaims that a holy messenger is on the way. And this announcement brings with it a promise and a word of warning. There's a mixture of both hope and despair in what Malachi has to say to us. There is hope that the light of the world is coming. But of course, the light will illuminate everything. And that is everything that includes both the good and the bad. Are we ready and prepared for this, as Malachi warns? Well, because this reading contains an intersection of hope and despair, I believe that resonates with us today more than ever. Malachi helps us to imagine that the appearance of the Lord will take us by surprise if we're not ready. As all amazing grace does, I suppose. Once again, God's messengers prepare the heart of the people for the coming of the Lord, who will soon be in our midst. Now, we've had a year of the pandemic, and within that year, we have seen lots of hope and lots of despair. And I think the prophet Malachi would probably understand some of the feelings we have at this present time. And soon we're going to be entering the season of Lent, a time of preparation, sacrifice, and reflection. But as I said earlier, the season of Lent seems to have been going on for the last year. But we can still use this Lent in 2021 to consider what God might be saying to us at this time. I wonder, how can we make ourselves more fully God's person than our own? Two people who were definitely God's people are Anna and Simeon, and they always remind me of the faithful people I've known in the church. It is probable and possible that you may know a few Simeon and Annas of your own. In fact, looking around me on our Zoom screen, I think I can see a few Simeon and Annas already there. Even if you don't recognise it in yourself, I'm sure there's a lot of faithful people here. The presentation of Christ in the temple in Jerusalem is motivated by the specific requirements of the law of Moses. At the time, it was believed that after a woman gave birth to a son, she is impure for 40 days. And at the end of that 40-day period, she is to bring an offering to the temple, which the priest offers as a sacrifice. And that makes her pure in God's eyes. If you were rich, you would probably offer something large, a large animal like a calf or a goat. However, Mary and Joseph, being of limited means, as we heard, would have brought some pigeons or something similar. At the temple, the family is approached by an old man named Simeon, who is losing his sight and has been told by the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah. And this is, of course, the same spirit that has told him to go to the temple that day. Now, Simeon takes Jesus into his arms, the baby that is there, and praises God. He recognizes something in that baby straight away. And he says these words, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now those words, also known as the Song of Simeon or the Nunc Dimittis, can be said every day at night prayer, but I often say them when I'm at a funeral. And when I led Tim Hardingham's funeral, we did say the Nunc Dimittis. And in fact, Bishop Roger and myself said it together. And it was quite a powerful moment because we knew that Tim was a faithful man of God and that God's servant could now rest in peace. And that's the same for us all. We can trust in God for our salvation because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. I mean, we're talking about the cross now. Obviously, this is a story of great joy in the temple. But remember, Malachi and also Simeon talks about the warnings as well as the joy. And as Malachi talks about the fact that the light will illuminate the good and the bad, also Simeon talks about the sword that will pierce Mary's heart. He knows that this is not going to be an easy life for the Messiah, and there will be pain ahead. And that is life, isn't it? Hope and despair, joy and happiness. It's part of the pattern of life for us all. Let's move on to Anna. Anna, who never leaves the temple, we hear. She approaches the Holy Family, and she too recognises Jesus as the Messiah. But she has a very different reaction. The moment she sees the child, she begins to speak about him to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She is 84 years old, 84 years old. And according to Luke, she does not want to die. She wants to tell people what she has seen. Like the disciples who will follow her, she has a message she wants people to hear. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the first to have heard the good news announced to her. But Anna was the first person to fully understand it and proclaim it to other people. So we have this morning two very different but very devoted people who respond to Jesus in two very different ways. Simeon is overjoyed and sees his life's meaning as being fulfilled. But then Anna sees a new purpose in proclaiming Jesus' existence to all who are seeking redemption. And remember, she's 84. I believe that we are called to see and experience the joy as Simeon did, but we're also called to share that joy with others. And this reflects the image of the tunnel that I mentioned at the beginning of my talk. We can all see the light at the end of the tunnel if we but look. But it is up to us to move towards it. Now, the tunnel may seem long, but Candlemas reminds us that the journey is worth it. Because when we get to the end, we will finally receive the light that is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm wondering currently what God is saying to his church at this time. I think he might be encouraging us to move forward together. Whatever church building we belong to, maybe even whatever denomination we are, the church needs to work together for the greater good. And this way we've been working as a Saffron Walden team has been fantastic during the pandemic. I really feel God's been at work. We've not been restricted by our buildings. We've come together in new and different ways. And change like this isn't always easy, but it is the way forward for the church. We've discovered that we don't need to be confined to our church building or to our locality to be the body of Christ. We've discovered a newfound sense of freedom. And we don't know where that might take us. We don't know what the future is going to look like for the church. But we do know it's exciting. And we do know there's light at the end of the tunnel. And we know that Jesus is leading us. So whatever happens, we know if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will reach that light and be together in glory on this earth and in heaven. Amen.